Good morning. I hope you're having a fine and dandy Sunday morning. Welcome back to another edition of Miami Valley Voices on this Cox radio station. I am your host, as usual, from the Dayton Daily News, Ron Rollins, and we're here today to talk about cycling, bike safety, all the world of cycling and getting out on two wheels and how people are doing it in the Miami Valley. And with us today, we have two folks from the Miami Valley Regional Planning Commission. We have Matt Lindsay, a manager of environmental planning and a big cyclist yourself, right?
I'm a fair weather commuter cyclist, yes.
Okay. And we have Kirsten Frank Hopp from Regional Planner of the Miami Valley Regional Planning Commission. Did I pronounce your last name right?
It's Kirsten Frank Hoppy.
Hoppy. Yep. I apologize. Thank you for correcting us. Before we turn on the mics, we were talking about what precipitated the idea to have you guys in on the show to talk about cycling was bike safety, cycling safety, because about 3 weeks ago there were a couple of very tragic accidents involving small children who had collisions with cars, one fatal. But also, too, we realized when we were planning this that there's a lot of cycling stuff in our local headlines lately. In addition to that sad part, there's the Link Bike Share program. The Miami Valley Regional Planning Commission is underway with a large regional cycling update of your transportation plan. So we figured, good show. Kirsten, do you want to start off with maybe what MVRPC is doing with the cycling plan?
Sure. And it's the beginning of summer, so there's a lot more cycling happening naturally. We are working on a bikeway plan update. In 2008, we adopted the comprehensive local regional bikeway plan. Mm-hmm. It's a tongue twister of a name. So we're calling this the bike plan update, which is simpler.
Much simpler, yes.
And so that was 2008. This is 2015. Mm-hmm. A lot of things have changed. Things like we didn't anticipate bike share. That wasn't on anybody's radar back in 2008.
Not even larger cities, it really wasn't all that much. Yeah,
it's really brand new.
Yeah.
And so larger cities have adopted it, and even medium and small cities are pulling it in and incorporating it in their downtown planning activities. So, and it's an exciting thing to have going on here.
Oh, absolutely. Let's take a step back, and before we delve much further into the update, and remind people what your agency does. And it's more than cycling, obviously. Give people a quick update on MVRPC and its work in general.
Sure. Sure. The Miami Valley Regional Planning Commission is the transportation planning agency for a three-county area surrounding Dayton. So that's Montgomery County, Miami County, Greene County, and a small portion of northern Warren County right around Springboro and Franklin and Carlisle.
Okay.
We are the agency that receives sub-allocated funds from the federal government for transportation planning and for projects. Mm-hmm. And we develop an update every 4 years, a regional transportation plan. And underneath that plan, we are distributing funds to cities and counties in our area to do important transportation projects. Mm-hmm. And included in that are funds that are geared towards either projects that reduce air pollution, and which can include biking projects, or projects that just simply enhance the multimodal nature of our mm-hmm. of our transportation system, so biking and walking projects and transit projects. Mm-hmm. So putting all that together, it's important for us to have, in addition to our major transportation plan, the long-range transportation plan, that we have a regional bikeways plan mm-hmm. that guides our region and how it's developing our cycling infrastructure.
So take us back to 2008 when you did the initial cycling plan, and remind people right now we have this very large cycling trail system that a lot of people are aware of, even if they don't use it, and the region's proud of it. Take us back to 2008. How developed was it then, and how far have we come?
Well, back in 2008, we were only seeing the tip of the iceberg as far as the nation's largest paved trail network in terms of getting the word out about
which
our
is what
amenities,
we are, right?
Which is what we are.
Right.
And they had been doing trail building for 40-something years. So since the 1970s, people have been building sections of trail around different parts of the Miami Valley. And they were starting to finally come together as a network and get connected. But because there'd been such focus on trail cycling and trail building, and the multi-use paths are wonderful. They're an amazing amenity.
Oh, sure.
But you can't build a trail everywhere. You can't build a trail to every neighborhood and to every grocery store.
Right.
So at some point, we have to embrace street cycling. And that was the discussion happening in 2007 and 2008 as the plan was being developed.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually had consultants from Portland and New York and Columbus helping us design the bikeway plan
mm-hmm.
to national standards to make sure that we took in a lot of information from other areas, make sure that we're using best practices. And the idea, again, that the streets are part of our network
mm-hmm.
And need to be a little more bike-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Was at the forefront.
Back to the trails thing, at that point, was it mostly a matter of looking at what was already existing and figuring out how to largely connect, you know, in connect existing trail sort of networks and pods that just were kind of separate and needed to be brought together into kind of a real net?
We had already the Little Miami Scenic Trail,
right.
The Great Miami Trail, which was through most of Montgomery County at that
right.
point.
I think it fell off in Middletown or something like that.
Down in Middletown, and then, there's a gap still
right.
Between Franklin and Middletown, but it stopped up at Taylorsville Metro Park.
Okay.
Now, you know, again, 8 years later, that trail goes all the way up to Piqua, from
yeah.
Taylorsville Metro Park to Tip City to Troy to Piqua.
And that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Also, the Creekside Trail and Mad River Trail were just recently connected at that point, and now we actually have the Mad River Trail extending out from Eastwood Metro Park up to Huffman Dam
mm-hmm.
to connect with the Prairie Path Trail around and through Fairborn. So there really are a lot more connections being made.
Yeah.
The Dayton
are there
Kettering
more are there more to be made, really? I mean,
oh yes.
Yeah, that's cool.
There are a lot of gaps to fill still. There we still need to fill those gaps.
Sure.
But also the trails into different suburbs and connecting from one community to the next, we can definitely build the network out. We think of them as sort of the interstates of bicycling.
That's neat.
So that those are the ones meant to go the long distances and connect from community to community.
Do they tend to follow like old railroad easements or something? Or I mean, where?
Yeah, we have two kinds of trails, really. One is that follows abandoned railroad corridors,
right.
and the others that follow the river corridors.
Right.
Those are primarily the two. We are starting to see in our planning process the possibilities for trails that follow existing highway corridors.
Oh,
there's
really?
There's a suggestion in our new plan to build out a trail that follows the old historic National Road Trail.
Oh, yeah.
Which is now we all know that as Route 40
right.
across northern Montgomery County and across Clark County.
Right.
So we're looking at a possibility of connecting from the northern, across the northern townships of Montgomery County
mm-hmm.
from the Wolf Creek Trail in the west
right.
through Englewood and Englewood Metro Park,
mm-hmm.
meeting up with the Stillwater Trail, and then continuing on through along the airport property and then through Vandalia to Taylorsville, the Taylorsville Metro Park to the dam there.
And so that would be following roadways instead of, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Paralleling roadways,
right.
yes.
That's pretty neat. Now, so what role does MVRPC play in getting that done? I mean, are you guys working with municipalities and the federal government to, like, bring them together to make, what are you guys the glue or are you guys the steamroller?
Well, neither, actually.
Okay.
I think we have two different
I apologize
different
for my
roles.
Crude analogies.
No, you're fine. The first role and the role of the plan
mm.
is to give guidance,
mm.
To give standards, to give goals.
Mm.
Then the second role is we are, we're a clearinghouse, really, for the federal funds. Local jurisdictions, local cities, and local townships apply to us in a competitive application process
mm-hmm.
for those funds each year, and then we have a scoring and ranking process that allows them to the good projects float up to the top, and those are the ones that get funding and hopefully get built.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're here with Matt Lindsay and Kirsten Frank Hoppe from the Miami Valley Regional Planning Commission, talking about the network of cycling trails and possibilities across the Miami Valley. So, you've mentioned that one bullet point. What are some of the other bullet points in the plan, in the update?
Well, one of them is to encourage federal funding for active transportation programs to continue. We are following along with a number of other national organizations that recognize people really do want to have these transportation options mm-hmm. available to them. And if you look at what people think transportation money is spent on, they think that, you know, they spend some on roadways and some on transit and some on bikeways. Really, out of $100, only $1.50 of federal funds mm-hmm. is spent on bike and pedestrian projects right now.
Sure.
So we want to continue that and hopefully bump it up in the future.
But also, too, the whole change in the culture's attitude about cycling kind of has brought some other interesting interconnections like that. I mean, for example, it's the RTA that is undergirding the Link bike share program, right?
Right. That's a really unique partnership nationally.
It is, and very kind of weird and kind of cool. Yeah, but it fits. You know, it seems to make sense here.
It fits our region.
Yeah, it
absolutely
does. Yeah. Let's talk about the Link program a little bit. We had Laura Estendia, the executive director of that program, in talking about it when it was introduced. But as you mentioned, Kirsten, really that whole idea of bike sharing has kind of just emerged fairly rapidly in cities. Talk about that a little bit. How do you take something like that was like didn't exist in 2008 and then incorporate it into your updated plan in 2015?
Well, we don't have a policy specifically about the bike sharing, mm-hmm. but we do have a policy to work with Bike Miami Valley as an advocacy organization, mm-hmm. and also to really develop new ideas and technologies and keep that discussion flowing. Mm-hmm. Bike share is one option. E-bikes are another thing that's coming down the pike.
E-bikes?
Electric bikes.
Oh, wow.
With an electric assist
with
motor.
An electric
right.
assist.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a scooter?
Not always. The motor is small enough that it's...
There's conflicting state and federal definitions about where you transfer from an electric bike to a moped.
Yeah.
And that's an ongoing conversation at the national level.
That's really interesting.
We'll keep our eyes on. Another way to help to integrate the Link issue into our planning process is to understand that some of the Link users are going to be novice cyclists.
Absolutely.
So there's certainly a need for working through Bike Miami Valley to provide more education for cyclists and motorists mm-hmm. about interactions on the road, because hopefully people will be seeing these green bikes out on the street
right.
a lot.
Absolutely.
And not on the sidewalk. And then in addition, knowing what the service area is, at least currently, for the Link system, which is downtown Dayton and mm. some of the surrounding neighborhoods,
right.
it's going to be important for, in this case, the city of Dayton, to think about the bike infrastructure in those areas where they're expecting to see a lot of Link bikes
right.
and look at more bike lanes, look at protected bike lanes or buffered bike lanes, which will make the riders of those Link bikes more comfortable.
Remind people what they're listening to and then pick that up. This is Miami Valley Voices. If you're just joining us on this Cox radio station, I'm your host, Ron Rollins. We're here with Matt Lindsay and Kirsten Frank Hoppe from the Miami Valley Regional Planning Commission, talking about cycling in the region. When you talk about a buffered bike lane, I mean, the bike lanes people have seen downtown are pretty much just painted, designated, like, don't kill people in this mm-hmm. lane here, you know. You're talking about buffered would be like what, with a like a curb separating
well,
them?
Well, there's a whole range of ways that you can do it.
Yeah.
And the more separation you provide, the more safety people see and
mm-hmm.
feel.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, on Forer Boulevard in Kettering, mm-hmm. there is a buffered bike lane where there is a standard bike lane mm-hmm. and then next to it is a much wider striped area with the diagonal striping lines
yeah.
that indicate that no one should be driving there at all. So that adds an extra 2 or 3 feet of buffer between cars and,
right.
and the bikes in those bike lanes. You can then go on, in some cases, and add either plastic bollards or even a curb
yeah.
that provides additional separation between the motor traffic and the bicycle traffic. It depends on your budget, and it depends on how much space you have on the road to be able to do these things.
Right.
A standard bike lane, like you'll see in downtown Dayton or on Brown Street right now, you know, is a 5 foot wide lane with a 6 inch stripe that protects, that divides the motor traffic from the bicycle traffic.
Which is mostly a reminder. I mean, it's like mostly to remind motorists more than the cyclists, like, watch out, this is a bike lane. I mean, stay out of it. I presume. I mean,
that's right. And then when you get up closer to intersections, they kind of turn into the right turn lanes.
Right.
And that becomes a shared space.
Right, right.
It's confusing sometimes. I think over time, people, drivers and bicyclists, get more used to how to interact with one another out on the road.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know just as a driver, I have found myself when I'm approaching the intersections downtown where I am going to turn right, I actually, before you would simply turn right, now I'm actually conscious of what's going on behind my right shoulder, like I'll double check, and as a driver you have to kind of remind yourself and train yourself to make that check before you're turning right, because before the lane was there you didn't think about it so much. So I presume that's the job it's supposed to serve for me as a driver.
Absolutely. And the I mean, it is a lane.
You're
so
right,
when you change lanes, you really need to make sure you merge safely.
Right.
When you turn across a lane, again, you want to make sure that you merge as far to the right as you can before making that right turn.
Which with car traffic, you intuitively, of course, get, and it's built into your DNA as a driver. Adding the bike lanes, it's an extra reminder. It's an extra step of something to be aware of. Let's talk about safety a little bit, because we did mention at the beginning of the show the accidents, the sort of spate of accidents or burst of accidents we had involving children a few weeks ago. And fortunately, that hasn't happened again, but presumably it could any time. I mean, does MVRPC help drive bike safety into the conversation, or else as cyclists yourselves? I mean, talk about that a little bit.
Well, we don't try and solve every crash,
but we
do take a look at safety and crashes involving bicycles and pedestrians from a regional level over a course of multiple years, and we try and find patterns there. So we have recently completed a crash analysis for the years 2011 through 2013.
Oh,
we were looking for, again, patterns and locations that have high rates of bicycle or pedestrian crashes, and those are identified in that report. Crashes involving bicycles or pedestrians are about 1.6% of all crashes in our area, which is a very small percentage.
That does sound small, yeah.
However, 17% of the fatalities.
So
that's intuitively makes sense that crashes between motor vehicles and pedestrians or bicyclists are going to be particularly hazardous for the pedestrian or the bicyclist. So.
Is there a particular kind of roadway or a particular portion? Are suburbs more or less dangerous than downtown or rural areas, or does it get that deep into the?
There is a crash map generated that's in the bikeway plan and on our website, actually, mvrpc.org, under the transportation tab. But there is not a particular type of roadway that's more or less dangerous in our region, as far as I know. What makes it safer or less scary to use sometimes is the speed of traffic.
Right.
A lot of times it's the width of the traffic lanes that encourage people to go faster, like you have wider lanes on a highway and narrower lanes in a neighborhood. So you go slower in a neighborhood.
Well, it seems like, for example, downtown, for example, may seem like intimidating because of the way the number of cars and stuff. But it's also a place where drivers are driving slowly, you know, and they're stopping.
That's true.
And they're stopping a lot, you know, and they're conditioned like a light every, you know, and they're
every block.
The patterns would indicate that intersections are more dangerous than along the roadway in general. And something identified in our most recent analysis by our staff was that. The most common cause or factor that was indicated by the police report for each of these crashes was failure to yield, which would indicate a sort of an intersection kind of situation.
Yeah.
And that could be failure to yield on the part of the driver or on the cyclist or the pedestrian.
What is the rule of the road for people to know? I mean, the cyclist wins, right? I mean,
no. Typically, the way it should be done is that cyclists behave like any other vehicle out on the road. So if you're looking to turn left and you're on a bike, you need to yield because that left turns are, you know,
right,
causing conflicts. In any kind of situation, when you are turning, there's a burden upon the turning vehicle, be it a two wheel or a four wheel vehicle, to make sure that they have clearance to make that turn.
Do people use helmets enough? I mean, is it as broad-based a habit or practice, you think, as it should be?
I think there's a lot of room for improvement as far as wearing helmets on a regular basis. Some people adopt it as a true habit, but some people are less vigilant, and maybe it's because they think, well, I'm a pretty good cyclist, or I'm not going very far, or I'm just in my neighborhood. A helmet doesn't prevent a crash.
No.
But a helmet can reduce the injury factor hugely. And so if you have a proper fitting helmet, that can go a long way. And that's another thing for parents to be aware of with their kids as well. If you want their kids to ride with a helmet on, maybe the parent needs to ride with a helmet on.
And that's true of that good parenting advice in a lot of ways. That's right. And so back to the plan. What other bullet points in the plan that you think people should know about? And also, too, you had a feedback session last week in which people came to your office and talked about it. What sort of feedback did you get?
We actually heard a number of comments that people are encouraged by what is in the plan. We have recommendations about education and encouragement activities. The more cyclists are in an area, the more the interactions improve because people expect to see them there. So there is a certain safety in numbers. And so the more encouragement we can do to get people out on their bikes, the better for everybody. And again, that education between how to follow the rules of the road, how to interact for motorists and cyclists and pedestrians, those kinds of things are important. We have a new public safety announcement video on our website, and hopefully you'll see it out in the community, talking about again the rules of the road and safe interaction between cyclists and motorists.
And I should have a look at that. Tell people where to find you actually online. What is the website?
mvrpc.org/bike-plan-update.
Cool. So again, talk about some of the, how many people showed up at your feedback session?
We had 41 people there last night. We've also had some comments online. You can leave online comments on that bike plan update page, and we had a lot of good feedback. We were up in Piqua for the Miami Valley Cycling Summit last Friday.
Tell us about the Miami Valley Cycling Summit. What happens at a Miami Valley
that
Cycling Summit?
That is an
Summit.
Event that this one that was just occurred up in Piqua was the fourth Miami Valley Cycling Summit. They happen every other year in odd years, usually in May.
Who shows up? What happens?
We hope to have cycling advocates from all over the Miami Valley, plus decision makers and elected officials getting together in one room and discussing the potential for developing cycling as a business opportunity, as a community development opportunity, as a community health opportunity, and hoping that the decision makers in our region will see the energy that's behind cycling culture and choose to develop their communities in ways that encourage cycling within their boundaries.
Did it go pretty well?
We had, an evening before event with about 80 folks at it, and the event itself had 360.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly government folks, or no?
It was a mix, just like we had hoped.
Government and advocates.
Advocates and even some small businesses that are building around the trails or building around cycling culture. Quite an exciting event.
That sounds really cool. Do you think we, as a region, are where we should be on marketing this? I mean, we'd have, as you said a minute ago, the best, biggest, you know, network of trails anywhere. So, and I think people kind of know that, but you don't see it on billboards.
That's been slow to develop. That's been slow to develop because each county park district has their own set of trails, and they weren't all linked to each other.
Right.
In the past 3 or 4 years, they've come to recognize that they are the trails that they manage and they are responsible for are part of a larger network, and it's worth selling the whole concept of the Miami Valley Trails as one thing.
Yeah.
So
and marketing
that's
efforts
coming.
For a region are hard, as our region knows, because we've had several, I don't want to say misfires, but several campaigns and efforts that have only gone so far and then kind of fizzled out. But it seems like this would be a really good one. I mean, to declare ourselves bike capital of the world and plant our flag and run with it, you know, would be kind of cool. But I don't know who decides that. I mean, it's not an MVRPC thing, but it's a larger regional question, I guess.
Yeah, the ongoing conversation between trail managing agencies, convention and visitors bureaus, and even the chambers, because we have some bike-friendly businesses being recognized in some communities. We have a survey that we did in 2013 indicated we have over 1 million visitors to our trails every year, local and out of the local area, and they spend $10 to $13 million each year.
That's really cool
in our region. So that's very exciting. We are promoting a new trail counting program and also on street counting.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's being developed and will happen more going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll give us more of those numbers and more of the detail who is using it and how can we better market to get other folks in.
Yeah, that's really cool. So where does it go from here? Is this just something that just gets bigger? It seems like it. Mm-hmm. It seems like that. Yeah.
Well, we certainly hope. We want to build out the trails network, but then start to have our communities branch off those trails with local trails or local complete streets or very quiet and safe residential streets so that you have a complete network, not just the interstates for bikes, but also the local roads that make it a valuable and viable transportation network for
and
bicycles.
A system. Yeah, that's cool.
And we want to make those low-stress experience for people who are novice riders or for people who are trying to get their families. A survey of input that we asked participants to give us their interests and their feedback and their ideas for the plan. And they said, we want to get from our neighborhood to the bikeways and to parks, so to the trails and to parks. So the old way is you put your bike on the back of a car and you drive there.
This way you want to just sort of leave your driveway.
You want to leave your driveway on your bike and get to your trail or your park.
That's really cool. We are out of time. For more, people should go to mvrpc.org, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've been here with Matt Lindsay and Kirsten Frank Hoppe talking about cycling from the Miami Valley Regional Planning Commission. I hope you'll come back in a couple months or soon and update us again.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. This has been Miami Valley Voices. See you next week.